We are in church this morning. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Who are we dismissing this morning? Anchor Youth Tidal Wave. Now might be a good time if you want to go get a donut and a coffee. Might be a good time to go sneak in the coffee shop and grab one of those. Amen. I'm excited to be back. I've circled the island a couple of times last night. I got an aerial view of everything, but could not land. And made it this morning, and I'm glad to be back here. Feel like I am super pumped. I am super pumped to deliver this word. This morning I was like looking at the weather and trying to figure out, okay, is that going to work? Is that not going to work? And I remember the Spirit of God is awakening me and saying, you go because you've got a word to deliver. No weather is going to hold you back. And I was like, not today, Satan. Not today. I'm going home. I got a word and I got to let it loose. Amen. If you're watching us online, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us at Oceans United. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Hallelujah. And we're going to start right in verse 1. We are wrapping up our series called Connecting Dream to Destiny. God has got a dream for your life, and it is called calling. And God has got a destiny for your life, and it is called purpose. Oh, hey, sounds like you need to watch the sermon online or listen to it on Podbean all over again. You can start all the way to the beginning. The very first week when we started talking about connecting dream with destiny. God's got a dream for your life. It's called the calling. A calling, what He's called you to be. He's called me to be a pastor. He's called me also to be a father, a husband. All of these are callings within callings. It's not just one calling. We got multiples of callings that God has for our life. Is multiple dreams, right? How many have just one dream and one dream only? You've never dreamt any other dream in your life. No, you've had many dreams. Many dreams that came from God. Many dreams, many visions that you've received. What if you've got the calling, you know what you're called to be, and you spend the rest of your life knowing what you're meant to be and never be what you're meant to be? Did I say it right? Sounds right, right? What if you live your life in the dream and never fulfill the destiny? You never achieve the purpose of what you called to do. What if I'm called a pastor and I never walk into the destiny of being a pastor? What if I'm called to be a father and I never walk into that calling and fulfill that destiny? It's the same for your life. Whatever God has called you to do, don't just receive the dream, dig a hole and bury that dream. If that dream has been dormant for a while, today, I want you to say today. Today, that dream is coming back to life. Would you believe that? Would you believe that for your own personal dream, as I am going to believe God for my own personal dream this morning? Because I believe being just a pastor and achieving what he wants me to achieve is not just it. There is much, much more to do. There is much, much more to do. There's much, much more to accomplish right here. Right here in this place. I don't need to look yonder. That's a churchy word there. I don't need to look yonder. I don't need to look beyond. I need to look right here, right now. What is it to be done? And Lord, can I be part of it? Can I be part of it? Can I participate in what is happening? I don't want to just sit back and be a spectator. I want to be in the game. I want to play. How many of you guys who played sport that you like just to watch others play? I don't know anybody who loves sport, just watch others play. You want to join in. You want to be part of the action. You don't want to miss out on anything that is happening. You want to be in the game. Being in the game is walking out that destiny, fulfilling the purpose. What if I give you a box and I say, this is the box and this is the final product of that box? I want you to put the pieces together. And I want this. This is the final product. What if you leave every piece that is in that box untouched? You never put it together. What's going to happen to the product? Is it going to be finished or unfinished? Unfinished. Because all you see is just a picture of the product, but you are never enjoying the satisfaction of that product. It's like you've received a gift and you've left that gift in the box. You've never unwrapped the gift. You've never got to enjoy the benefit of that gift or the talent that God has placed inside of you. That over the years, you've disqualified yourself over using the talent. And you've taken the gift and the talent and you've buried that talent somewhere. And then you know that God has called me to use this talent somehow, somewhere. But because of the fact that you've disqualified yourself for so long that you've forgotten about the gift itself. One Christmas has passed, second Christmas has passed, and the gift is still in the box. Wouldn't that be a shame? A shame for you for not opening the box. But what about the giver of those gifts? What is he going to say for next Christmas when he comes back to you and said, what do you want for Christmas? Did you open up the other gift that I gave to you last Christmas? And you say, no, actually I didn't think I was worthy enough to open up the box. I left it all in there, untouched. What kind of message do you send to the giver of those gifts? Probably something like this. I don't value the gifts that you've placed in me. Wouldn't that be the same way here, right now, when you think about everything that God has given unto you? All these talents, all these gifts that is given to you, and you are just not using them to the fullest potential. You've opened up the box maybe. You've taken a little peek inside of the box and you got a little happy about what you saw inside. But you've never taken the whole thing out and got to play with the gift. Utilize the gift. Figuring out what those pieces really mean. How do they fit in God's big picture? So today we're going to do some unwrapping. We're going to bring back those gifts that has been put aside. in the closet that we didn't think were any good, of any value. Because we're looking at ourselves and we're looking at our mess and we're thinking, I am not worthy to actually open up those gifts. But God is calling you worth it today. God is saying you're worthy because I have redeemed you. Because he has redeemed you, makes you worthy. Makes you qualified to open up the gift and utilize the gifts. So today we're going to talk about being confused a little bit. Because guess what? When you open up a box of stuff and you see a picture like this and you want to recreate this picture, there is a level of confusion there. I mean, I try to piece together beds and toys and all kinds of stuff together. Believe me, it is confusing. The last time I tried to piece something together, I called Richard. It was a little drawer, set of drawers that I needed in my office. I looked at that, I'm like, so many pieces. I have no idea how to piece that together. Richard showed up and he's like, Pastor, just can I take it home? He took the whole box home. He put it all together and he came back with some other pieces that did not belong. So Richard, I have no idea if he did it right or not, but the drawers, the set of drawers, they do work. So you just never know what's in the box until you take the risk of opening the box. And there is a level of confusion while you're doing it. Okay, I want to see a show of hands. No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. How many already know what you're meant to do in life? Don't raise your hands. If you do with 100% and you already know and you're already doing it, well, good job. But if you're a little confused, I'll say, welcome home. Because there is a level of confusion when you look inside the box. There might be many, many pieces to that. And you don't fully understand what is going on. How do you piece the dream together? How do you make the calling make sense? How do you make the dream that you had last night make sense in your mind? Now, I'm not talking about the cheesecake dream. Here's the interpretation of that dream. Ready for it? Stay away from the cheesecake. You don't need it. There's a 30-day challenge that is going on that where you need to stay away from sweets and carbs and everything else. Stay away from the cheesecake. That's a simple interpretation of that dream. You don't need to dig further. But I'm talking about calling. The dream that God has for your life. If you don't have it all put together, you are not crazy. You are normal. If you have a little sense of confusion in your mind and it's a little foggy up there, what am I supposed to do? I am 70 years old. I am 80 years old. What do I fit in? What do I do? What is my purpose? What is my calling? And you're a little confused. Guess what? You are absolutely 100% normal. You're not crazy. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you a story about a boy who was 12 years old when God spoke. And he was confused because he's never heard God's voice before. God was calling, but because he was not familiar with the voice of that calling, he got confused. Like many of us, we get confused when God is calling. God is saying, hey, I've got this gift in you already, in you. And you're like, what gift? What do you mean? I didn't think that was a gift. You're confused because you're looking at the box and you're seeing so many pieces. That was Samuel. So this is the story. Samuel chapter 3, it says this. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. That was his job. Samuel was planted in the church. He ministered to the Lord with Eli. Eli was the mentor. I want you to read the story of Samuel because, you know, the mom promised to give Samuel back to the church. You read about it, okay? We don't have time this morning. Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And I want you to catch this next sentence. It says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. What does that even mean? In those days, because of what was going on, that level of confusion was so high because of everything that was going wrong in the temple that where he was serving. There was a lot of things that were going wrong. Because of that, because of sin, because of several things that were not right in the eyes of God, the word of the Lord was rare. It wasn't like you're hearing this morning. It wasn't like we were openly worshiping. We were flowing in the Holy Spirit. It was not like that. The word of the Lord was rare. And there was no widespread of revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes began to grow dim that he could no longer see, and before the lamp of the Lord went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was while Samuel was laying down. There was a presence of the Lord right there. The ark of the covenant symbolizes there was a presence of God there. The voice was rare, but the presence was still here. The presence of God was there. Then the Lord called Samuel. Did not call Eli, called Samuel. And he answered. He says, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You call me? You call me? And Eli said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went down and lay down. Then the Lord called him yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli. Here I am, you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He was hearing right, but because of the fact that he was not familiar with the voice of God, he had no idea that was God calling. He kept thinking, this is Eli. He was very familiar with the voice of Eli. But he's never had an encounter with God before. He knew that there was a presence of God there, but because of the fact that he's never heard the voice of God, he was confused. He kept going back and forth to Eli and kept saying to Eli, Eli, here I am. And Eli kept saying, go back and lay down. Leave me alone. Go have a milk and a cookie and go to bed. Finally, Eli recognized the voice himself. Not even him. He's the priest of the temple. Not even him recognized the voice of God right off the bat. Then he said to Samuel, go back to your room. When you hear that voice again, it is not me. It is the voice of God. Just say this. Just say this to that voice. Here I am. I'm listening. That's exactly what you and I, we need to do when we are confused. The presence is here. We don't need to look for the presence of God. Lord, where are you? Lord is here. He never moved. He's right here. And he's speaking. All you and I, we have to say is like, Lord, here I am. I'm listening. You speak. This is the time when we remain silent and we listen to the calling. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling you by name. He's calling you by name. And he's associating your name with the gifts and the talents that he's already placed in you beforehand. He calls you a masterpiece. He calls you his workmanship, which means masterpiece. He's calling you a masterpiece now. Not tomorrow when you get it all figured out. He's calling you this masterpiece today. While you don't have anything figured out. Why are you still confused, by the way? So the confusion itself about who you are and what you're supposed to be doing in the big master plan has no bearing of how he calls you. He calls you this masterpiece while you're looking at the box all confused. You know why? He's calling you by the final product. He's calling you as the finished product because he's already calling you by what he sees you to become. If you're called to be a leader, a businessman or businesswoman or anything, a teacher, a father, a mother, a grandma, a grandpa is already calling you by what he's seeing you become. He's not waiting on you to get your act together to call you as the final product. You might be seeing the box and getting confused and not calling yourself that, but he is. He's calling you by what he sees you becoming. A lot of times we don't need to go anywhere to hear the voice of God. See, the voice of God with Samuel was right there in the room. He didn't have to leave. He was running to a voice that he was familiar with. How many times do we do this when God is talking? God is speaking. And we're like, okay, who do we need to talk to? Who has the word for us? Do you have it, Jesse? Do you have it, John? Do you have it? Do you know what is? God is saying, I'm right here. I am talking to you. And you're running to others to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. Ask the one who created the thing to start with. Ask the one who came up with a plan and gave you and calls you the masterpiece. You go straight to the source. So that's what Eli said. You stay put. Stay in your room. And when God speaks, you say, here I am, Lord. Speak. I'm listening. In 2010, Don and I, we were wrestling with several things. And the number one thing that we are wrestling with is calling. What are we supposed to do? With this box. What are we supposed to do? I have no idea. We're looking at this, and the whole time God was stirring. We could feel that stirring. God was challenging us in certain areas in ministry. We were looking at this thing. Sometimes things were confusing to the point where we were believing that they were coming from the enemy. But he wasn't. It wasn't the enemy that was challenging us. It was God that was putting us in situation where we would do something that we try not to talk about in church. It's called growing up. We don't want to talk about growing up because we might offend some people. But there is an element of rising above that level of confusion. It's called growing up. As you grow up, the fog of confusion, you leave it behind. Because you rise up to a new level of understanding with God. You start seeing the pieces being put together. You start seeing your place and where you belong. It might be temporary for a season, but yet again, you're accomplishing what God wants you to do in that season. You're not trying to look at the other season. Oh, I wish I was like that. I wish I was there. Oh, Lord, I'm qualified. Look at me. I'm more than qualified to do this. Why am I still here in this season? Could it be, just could it be, there is a piece of that big, in that big box, there is a piece that needs to be unwrapped in this season first. There's a part B1-2 in that box. When you're opening up a box that has multiple pieces, there's a part that is labeled B-1-2. You cannot get to B-1-3 because it will not make sense. There will be some part that is missing. You don't want to piece that way. You want to follow the instructions. There is a reason why you're in this season. Dealing with B-1-2. In 2011, I was stuck with B-1-2. Lord, I'm seeing this and I have no idea where you are. Lord Jesus, please help me. I need to figure this out. Maybe you're not here. Maybe you're somewhere else. I took a sabbatical from the church. From my job. And I was like, Lord, I'm going to go look for your voice. It was me like Samuel, running after Eli. My sabbatical took me to England. Right after England, I went to Mauritius. I left Mauritius, I went to France. I left France, I went to Germany. I was looking. Lord, maybe you're in Mauritius. Lord, maybe you're here. Lord, maybe you're in Germany. Lord, maybe you're back in England. That's comfort. That's where I come from. I need to be going back maybe where I was born, back in Mauritius. Lord, could you speak and tell me what B-1-2 really means? And I'm looking for the answer. I'm looking for the answer in the wrong place. I remember calling Don. I'm like, I'm going to these places. I'm hoping God is saying, come back home. That's what I was hoping for. God will make sense of B-1-2 in Mauritius. Why not? Why not? I was born there. I come from there. It's beautiful. 70-degree weather all year long. Beautiful sunshine weather. I mean, you know, we're talking about the Bahamas there. I mean, I'll go back there. Why not? Why not go back to England? Why not go back to France? But B-1-2 does not fit in England. It doesn't fit in France. It doesn't fit in Mauritius. It doesn't fit in Germany. It was the perfect fit right where I was. Right where I was. So rule number one, where you're trying to clear out this fog in your mind when you're looking at the pieces in the box, is to do this. Be familiar with the voice of God. Train yourself so that you can hear His voice above the noise. Because the noise, they're going to be around you no matter what. But if you train yourself, a little bit of noise cancellation. Now they've got this amazing device where you can plug those in and bing. You can walk around and you have no idea what everybody else is doing. That was me in the airport. Walking around. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And I'm zoning in and that's what I'm listening to. I am engaging myself, my spirit, with what God wants me to hear. I've canceled out every noise around me. Like, we're not going to land. This is happening and blah, 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 blah. I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to hear this. Lord, you're in charge. If I need to go back, I need to go back. I don't care. I'll be here in the morning. I'm good. So, it's sometimes we have to take authority over those noises. We can't let the noise dictate what we do. I mean, it costs me money, time, resources, time away from my family to go from one place to the next in search of God while He never left me to start with. He was there in Eagle River all along. What we equate as confusion. I want you to catch this. That's very, very important. You got to write this down. What you might be equating as confusion could simply be God stirring up your nest. You might have gone a little bit too comfortable in that nest. And God is simply stirring. Just like a mother eagle would do to the little eaglets that are in the nest. She would go in and pluck out all the, what's that word? The comfortable bedding. How about that? The bedding. Take out the bedding. Take out the pillows. Take out everything that would make you comfortable. And exposes those spiny, sharp things that would get you on the side right here, that would make you uncomfortable, that would ouch right here. What are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? These are good for you and for me. So the stirring that we were feeling, both of us, we were feeling back in 2010, were just this, ouch, ow, ow, ow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But guess what? What I did was run away. Run away from those pressure points that were from God, not from the enemy. God was stirring us up for something different. Because B-1-2 needed to be placed here first. We serve a God of order. There's a strategic way that He does things. And He wants us to submit to the plan. So rule number one is be familiar with the voice of God. Don't run away from His voice. You will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. But you will only get that instruction when you stay put. If you haven't heard anything from God, don't move. Don't move. I see this happening a whole lot, especially in ministry. Just like Don and I, we were in ministry. Where we get uncomfortable. We get unhappy. We get miffed. And we see B-1-2. And we take B-1-2. Somewhere else. And we'll try to make that part fit. It doesn't. It will never fit. It will never fit. It didn't fit for me when I went back to England. I was surrounded by great people. But it did not fit until I got back home. And I said, Lord, you take over. You show me where it fits. Don and I, we've been trying to figure it out by our own strength. It's time you take over now. It's time you lead. You speak and we will listen. So be familiar with his voice. Rule number two is this. What you need is already in the soil. What you need is already right here in the soil, right where you planted. He says, those who are planted in Psalm 92 verse 13, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Will flourish, will produce. Will produce fruits even in old age. B-1-2 fits in the house where you're planted. Where you're planted. It won't fit in somebody else's house. It'll fit right here. And it has the right nutrients in that soil to allow you to bear the fruits. You don't have to go search for a different type of soil to bear more fruits. Where you are planted, where you are called, is that place. See, Samuel was called from his bedroom, from the place where he was at already. He left his bedroom and went into somebody else's bedroom trying to seek for the answer. It wasn't there. It was not until he returned back to his own place, the place where he's planted, the place where God is actually present and speaking, is when it made sense. So when I got back home in Eagle River, the place where God wanted us to be planted is where the place where God revealed the calling, followed by the purpose. Eventually, it meant for us to leave. But we were trying to leave prematurely. Before time, we were trying to uproot ourselves and go somewhere else where he is not. And we expect God to follow us along the way. Isn't that a shame? That was us. This is me being real to you. This is how confusing it is. So that's why I said, if you are confused, don't think you're crazy. Because there is that element of confusion. But it's not confusion. The real word is a stirring. A stirring in your spirit to rise above. To hear his voice. To remain planted until he takes you somewhere else and plants you somewhere else. But don't try to do it yourself. You cannot. The moment you do it, you will fail. You will not bear fruits. The enemy will come to steal, to kill, to destroy. The enemy will come to rob you of every fruit that you can actually produce. Remain planted. And rule number three is this. It's called the 80%. The 80% is simply this. Start with 80% of what you know. If God has called you to do something, that might be very crazy. You start at the place where he's called you. Even if it is 80%. You don't know fully with 100% certainty that you're going to go there. And it's going to be 100% perfect. When Don and I, we came here to Kodiak in 2015, we came here with 80%. You know why? We had no idea if what we were doing was going to produce any fruits. You know, the challenge was, start with what you have. That was the 80%. God made up the 20% along the way. That's what it's called, faith. I've just put a number on this to get you to think. Sometimes you don't know for sure 100% that you're going to step there and it's going to be successful. But you go on one thing called faith, a leap of faith, a step of faith. Lord, I'm going there because I've heard you say go. I have no idea you're going to piece it together. I have no idea how B1-2 is going to fit, but I know B-1-2 would fit there. I don't know how you're going to put it there in the right place for it to fit perfectly, but I know it belongs in this season. It doesn't belong here, but it belongs there. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. And I'm going to put B-1-2 there in hope that you will make sense out of it. That's what we did. We left. We left, we came. We came with no money. We came with difficulty. We came while God was stirring up our nest. Where you would might be looking at it in the natural and say, it doesn't make sense. Why would you be doing this? Everything that talks about church plant goes against what we did. We were not even talking about 80%. It was like 40%. Because everything that we've studied about planting a church from scratch with nothing said this. You need a dream team of at least 30 people to come alongside you to help. You need at least $40,000 to $50,000 ahead in order to be able to structure your team to fund the resources that you need. We did something called ARC, which is the Cadillac of church planting in terms of the study, the material. We studied that. But we are like, Lord, I understand the material. It makes sense. But what you're asking us to do does not fit in this plan. If we go, Lord, based on that 80%, would you meet us along the way and provide the 20%? We just left. We came. No dream team. Our dream team was a dream team of 7. Me, Dawn, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Soraya, Elijah, and Micah. And Raja, our dog. That was our dream team. We came. Obedience was the key. Would you obey God with 80% and trust Him as you obey Him and walk, step out in faith? Use what you have now. Don't wait until you're 100% to serve God. Serve God what you have at your level of capacity with the gifts that you already have now. You don't need to wait until you're a little bit more mature as a Christian. When I become a little bit more mature, then maybe I'll serve. Maybe I'll participate. Well, you can become like mature cheese. I'm talking about the really ripe one. Because you waited for way too long to be matured. You don't want to be a stinky Christian. I can't believe I said that. I'm sorry. You want to serve God while you're still fresh. I just keep digging a hole there. Could you please come and help me?
This was planned. We're just kidding. You don't need rescued, baby. You're doing great.
Well, what I'm saying this church is this.